Cairo Nights. Debate night yet again. Mr. Billy Sunshine on the line. Hi, Billy. How you doing this evening?
Well, I'm just thrilled you still answer the phone when I call.
I shouldn't, to be honest with you. I should have Shane call screen you before you come on. So, Billy, we're going to have ourselves another debate. And the debate tonight is centered around the decision between Pelosi and Kevin McCarthy and the whole debacle that's going on with the January 6th commission. Now, the question...
Wait a minute.
Huh, yeah.
What happened on January 6th?
Oh, nothing, Billy. You know, nothing. Just a group of patriots went out there. Oh, wait, hold on a second. Billy, just a group of fine American patriots went down to the Capitol defending their freedoms, defending their freedoms from the evil cabal of Satan-worshipping pedophiles out there, Billy. And you know what they did? They stormed the Capitol, and they decided that the best thing to do to support their freedoms was to basically act like a bunch of adolescent children in an abandoned warehouse. So they took stuff and they spray painted on stuff and they knocked on doors and they were knocking on the doors of freedom, Billy Sunshine. A knock, knock, knocking, saying, listen, Nancy Pelosi, you get out here so we can hang Mike Pence and save our democracy. That's what they were doing.
Pretty much. That was a good description, by the way.
Yeah, thank you, Billy.
You
know, Billy,
you did a good job there.
Before we get to the debate, Billy, let me just say this. The most amount of hate that I get, the most amount of email hate that I get, and I don't know if I've told you this or not, Billy, is when I make fun of the people who stormed the Capitol empirically. If I refer to those people as being obese or pre-diabetic or inbred or whatever it is, people lose their minds.
They're just dumb. That's right. All. They were just really stupid and they were misled people. But, you know, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember after January 6th, I had a friend who tried to convince me it was Antifa that was, leading that whole thing.
Who tried to convince you that it was Antifa?
A friend. I won't name him.
No, but who was
Jack.
It? Are you referring to me?
Jack,
are
you? I was referring to you.
Okay, Billy, what was the argument that I made after the 6th? Do you remember what it was?
But there are a few Antifa, in there trying to make sure it happened.
No. What was my argument?
Okay, remind me. I have Alzheimer's. You can remind me.
Okay, because now you're walking back your statement, Billy. Your initial statement was that you had a friend who was trying to convince you that Antifa started the whole thing, and now you don't even remember the statement that I made, which was what?
That's right. I don't know. Tell me.
Okay. So
you seem to know.
But the way that the conversation started, Billy, with my crystal brain, because my recall on this is amazing, you said, can you believe these crazy right-wingers think that Antifa started the whole thing? And then I said, yeah, pretty crazy, right? But I wouldn't doubt it if there were a couple of members of Antifa there. And you put your little hooks into that statement, Billy, and you transformed it into a Frankenstein's monster.
That's right. It was a ridiculous statement you made. It was unnecessary.
Why would you even bother? Billy,
because it shows that you're a sucker. If you were willing to even assume that there were one or two, and there could be, the point is, that's not what it was about, was it?
Billy.
Doesn't matter if there were a couple of Antifa there.
It was a throwaway statement.
In which
I was agreeing with you, and your boomer rage has now taken over the your capacity to think critically on this issue.
You coined good terms. I got to say that. I love the way you talk.
It was a throwaway phrase, a literal throwaway phrase that meant nothing other than, but I don't really doubt if there were a couple of Antifa members there. And then you have interpreted that now, Billy, for the better part of 6.5 months. To say that I was saying that Antifa was there, Billy, which I have never not once said with 100% certainty. Oh, yeah, Billy, Antifa was there 100%. So you got
to finish the conversation off.
OK,
I'll agree with you, by the way, that that's what you said. Now there's been 500 arrests and I haven't heard of one that is Antifa.
That is true. There was only one, Billy, just for clarification, there was only one arrest that was mildly suspicious, but it all got cleared up. So there was this young guy there who had been affiliated with BLM at a certain level, but he had been extradited from that BLM group. They had removed him from that group.
Wow.
Because he was a violent provocateur. And so
then
he goes over... And so he was initially...
Well, that's the thing. There's some just people who just want, wherever there's going to be violence, I'd like to be part of it. And they don't really have political backing. They're just, you know, they're just rioters. They're just people who want to make trouble.
So that was this guy's case.
What will happen often
is that people will cite that and they'll say, well, what about that BLM guy who was filming there? And as it turns out, the guy was just a provocateur at every level. So, okay, getting into the debate, Billy, you are going to be taking the side that Nancy Pelosi was correct in not allowing Jim Jordan and Jonathan Banks onto the committee, and I'm going to be saying that she was incorrect?
Well, first of all, correct in saying we have to have an investigation.
Okay. All right.
Start with that. So let's agree on that.
That's not even a debate, Billy, because you and I both agree there should be an investigation.
Well, I'm just saying. Boom. We said that. We're moving on.
Yes.
So now, yes. Who should be on that, investigation?
All right.
I would suggest to you that we know something about Jim Jordan.
All right, Billy.
Other than the fact when he was a wrestling coach.
Billy, we haven't even started yet because we have to do the,
is this an official?
Yeah, we got to ring the bell. Okay.
Round one.
Okay, round one. Go ahead, Billy.
Wait a minute. If this was on TV.
Yeah.
Can you imagine me as the ring girl? Carrying around,
I would go blind.
Sign.
I would go blind. Billy. A 400-pound man walking around in a bikini.
By the way, I'm still looking maybe to date people. You keep saying I'm so unattractive. It's not helping,
Billy.
Maybe there's someone out there who likes the kind of way I talk and stuff and would like to know me. But not if I'm 400 pounds, disgusting human being the way you describe.
Billy, you couldn't date a girl if you had $100 bill sticking out of your zipper. I mean, this is just your problem.
And I am handsome. And I am an imposing figure, and I give the best hugs any woman could want.
Right.
Let's face it.
Yes.
Now, you may go on.
And you're also not allowed to ride an elevator if there's more than 3 people in there, because then it goes over.
What would you do if you couldn't abuse me on a daily basis?
Oh, you know, I'm sure I would still find ways to abuse you as a dead person. Okay, Billy, so state your case. Why can Jim Jordan and Jonathan Banks not be on the commission?
Because they have both expressed and are there to destroy it, not to let it go anywhere. Jim Jordan, of course, is just, you know, that's all he's ever been, is a person that, you know, just is ridiculous and is just there to disrupt. Banks there actually made a statement maybe yesterday even, where he just basically said, no, I'm not interested in the committee that just looks at this. We have to look at BLM. We have to look at Portland. We have to look at all of that.
Okay.
All of which, by the way, may be good ideas to look at, but not as part of this. You know, this is what Congress does wrong all the time. And I, like, for example, this bill that Biden's, you know, this new bill, well, it's full of stuff that doesn't belong. It should be, you know, pure. It should just be infrastructure and separate bills for other things. And this is the same kind of thing. Trying to say that this commission should look at every bad protest that they think has ever occurred is just dead wrong. And so Pelosi is right to throw off those two people while allowing, I might add, somebody on there who did, in fact, vote against certifying the election.
Okay.
So it's not just that she was trying to get rid of all the Trumpers.
Right. But I would add this, Billy, is that if you have Jim Jordan and, excuse me, it's Jim Banks, by the way. Jonathan Banks is the guy who plays Mike Ehrmantraut on Breaking Bad. It's Representative Jim Banks.
I didn't think I said his first name. I just said Banks.
No, yeah, it's Jim Banks. So I think that it's actually a good idea to have Jim Jordan there and Representative Jim Banks on the commission so that they can kind of be like auditors, if that makes sense, Billy. Because
Why can't the other guys do it?
Billy, I let you go on for 90 seconds.
Answer that question of why you do your thing.
What do you mean?
Why not have just normal Republicans be auditors as opposed to someone who we know is a disruptor? Go ahead.
I'm thinking about it more like this, Billy. Like, do you remember the Nuremberg trials? You remember the Nazis?
Remember them? I was there.
So there were members of the German parliament who were on the board of those trials. Now they weren't. They weren't members of the Nazi party, but they were most certainly part of German parliament. Parliament. So in a fair and balanced society, you have that kind of measure. Now, if they were all if they're all five of them were Trumpists, if all five of them were, you know, rah, 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 Trump not certifying the election, then I would have a problem with it. But two out of the five is perfectly reasonable to me.
Well, first of all, there are Trumpists that are on there that she's not objecting to.
Okay.
Again, I'm just saying you don't have America's big disruptor, the biggest a-hole we have in America in Congress. You don't have him on a commission that he's there just to see that it doesn't get it done.
Jim Jordan.
And that's who he is, isn't he?
You don't, but I think.
I mean, do you know Jordan? I mean, have you paid attention to this guy?
I have paid attention to Jim
Jordan. He's not a positive effect. You know, he's not helped anything.
All right.
He is only a destroyer.
All right, Billy, let's get to round two.
Okay.
All right, so, Billy, round two will
Wait a minute. My cut man isn't done working on the cut you put over my eye. I'm bleeding profusely.
So, Billy, I'm going to start this round, and my general vision of this, or the way that I'm analyzing this right now, is that this is an excellent political move by Pelosi, but it's a bad government move by Pelosi, and here's why. Because if you really wanted the commission to go through and you're the Democrats and you have all the oversight power on what happens, it doesn't matter who the other five contributors are because you are the peak of the oversight, right? So everything that Jim Jordan submits, everything that Jim Banks submits is audited effectively by the Democrats who are overseeing the entire process because they are the party in power. This is Pelosi's ability because she knows she's going to get the panel and she knows that she's going to get the committee. This is her attempt at saying, how can I further twist the knife into the GOP and make January 6th even worse than it already is by pointing out that Jim Jordan and Jim Banks are now on the committee?
Yeah. Well, again, my statement stands. I'm not interested in having a great disruptor in the room when I'm trying to get something done. Someone there is just to destroy it. I'm not interested in. I am interested in having five Republicans in the room, some of whom are clearly Trumpists and voted against, or at least one, I think.
Okay, who do you want? Who do you want on the committee? Who do you want on the committee, Billy? You pick
whoever
your
she's chosen.
But you
whoever
pick
she's
five.
Chosen and two more.
But you pick. Who do you think would be good on that committee?
I don't know who the Republicans. I don't know any Republicans that I respect enough to name them. But
okay.
I know two, at least one really that doesn't belong, and the other that, from what I hear, is straight doesn't belong either.
Okay, so
I wouldn't let Jim Jordan on any committee I had at all, no matter what the subject was.
Okay, so you can't.
I just don't want a guy who's just can't really argue the point. But only wants to argue.
Okay,
a guy like me, say. Would you put me on that committee?
So, Billy, you can't name five Republicans that you would like on there. So you can't say Thomas Massie, Ken Buck, Matt Gaetz. You can't name five? I mean, there's just name five.
I can name five.
Okay.
I can name five.
Name five that you would like.
Let's see. How about the Florida guy? Oh, wait, that's not a Republican. That's not a representative. I can't name anybody. My brain doesn't work that way. I'm sorry. I failed.
Okay, so this is the problem here, Billy, is that if you
How about you name some people, and I'll tell you whether I can accept them or not.
Okay, Thomas Massie, I think, would be great.
Yeah, okay. He's fine.
Okay, Ken Buck from Colorado.
I don't know
him. Be great.
I don't know what his story is. I don't think I like him.
You're not interested in the man whatsoever?
No.
Okay.
Who else you got?
Okay, you want to throw a couple of, libertarians in there, or what? About,
Why not?
Okay, so what about Dan Crenshaw? What about you think Dan Crenshaw would be
fine? Dan Crenshaw is fine. You see, here's my point. I don't know those guys because they haven't been total jerks. You know what I mean? Jim Jordan is the most famous jerk in Congress.
Okay.
So it's easy for me, as an ignorant, forgetful Alzheimer's victim, to know that name, that person, unacceptable.
Okay. What about so what you're saying is,
and by the way, the reason I got rid of the Colorado guy is because Colorado obviously has a problem because they voted that Boebert woman in, so there's something wrong in Colorado.
Lauren Boebert?
I wouldn't let her on.
What about Marjorie Taylor Greene?
That's who we should put on. Let's put Marjorie Greene on just for laughs. That I'd like. Just because these things can be boring, and this woman is 100% fun.
All right, Billy, let's go to round three.
Who won round two?
Well, it's all getting scored up by the what's it called,
the referees.
The referees,
all of whom are employed by you. This is not fair. Oh no, I'm gonna have to do a knockout in round three.
So Billy,
if I'm gonna win.
Getting back to the initial, closing arguments. Okay, this whole committee, this whole commission. It's a good idea, but hold on, Billy. I'm going to have to put you on mute so I can just get 60 seconds out without you interjecting. So this whole committee, this whole commission is a very good idea. However, we all recognize as political thinkers that this is purely for partisan politics and nothing really will come of it, in the same way that nothing really came from the 9/11 commission or whatever, or the Benghazi commission or whatever, what have you, Billy. This is a tremendous waste of taxpayer dollars so that either the Democrats can score some points with the donors or the Republicans can score some points with the donors. And it's gridlocked, and it's gross American politics. So Pelosi holding up the whole procedure just so she can go on national news and say, I don't like Jim Jordan. I don't like Jim Jordan. I don't want Jim Jordan on the panel, is a huge waste of time, which could otherwise be used to actually do the commission and actually find out what's going on. Okay, that's the end of my statement, Billy.
Yeah. So, first of all, it's not a waste of money. You know, we already employ these people. We're already paying them. Them sitting in rooms and talking to each other.
Yeah.
But it costs me a dime. So right. There you go.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. And it's somewhat partisan in nature and not at all partisan in nature at the same time.
Okay.
Because we need to get serious about the problem that we have with people not caring about the American way of life. We have to make sure the vote is honest. We have to fix that. And this whole thing is part of that big picture of America having dug itself a ditch, and we don't know how to get out of it right now.
All right.
And this is us struggling to get out of the ditch that we've dug for ourselves.
Billy,
I'm done.
All right. Good job, Billy. Now we have to tally up the score, and we're going to find out in a couple of few who won. Just got to hand me the envelope. And yes, I won again, Billy. Yes. Yay me. Jack Stein won the debate against Billy Sunshine, evil communist pinko, Marxist thinking, critical race theorist, coastal elite, everything that America does not stand for. Oh, man. Feels good to win, Billy. Feels
I'm proud of all those things you call me.
Yeah. All right, Billy.
Isn't it amazing that coastal elite, yes, the people who are the smartest people in America, who make all the money, are people that people don't want to respect and want to put down.
Right.
That's great.
And on that note, Billy Sunshine, we are completely and totally out of time, so we'll take a really quick break. Thank you very much for your time, Billy. We appreciate you coming on this evening. We will be back right after this. Jam, Shane Peterson. So before we get into Netflix and why Netflix is failing as a platform, 206 has sent in a text message, Shane, and this is a golden, golden text message. See, just as a side note, regarding the drug addicts in Seattle, I rode the bus to and from work today, and both rides, I had a druggie shooting up on the bus. I'm so sorry to laugh. It says, I go from Lower Queen Anne to Ballard. So you were where I used to live in the Lower Queen Anne. And then it said they are constantly in the back of the D-line and always just needles and shooting up. Just a heads up. So, Shane, as you know, when I was a drug addict, I did not use intravenous drugs because I thought that that was gross. So I just smoked all my drugs or I put them up my nose like a normal human being. And part of that was because I saw what intravenous drug use did to people. I had a firsthand kind of exposure to it, so it was never appealing to me. It was, I guess it's kind of like, you know those shows that where people eat hot sauce, and then they 1 million Scoville hot sauce on a chicken wing, and then they start crying, and they start throwing up all over the place?
You mean like the show Hot Ones?
Exactly. So it's exactly like that, only instead of hot sauce, it's with heroin. So, you know, when people were doing intravenous drugs in front of me, they were crying and throwing up all over the place. So it was just not something that I was interested in. But I feel for you, 206. I really, really do. If I was the mayor of Seattle, okay, Shane, let's just say that I'm the mayor of Seattle. I get the key to the city, the skies open up, and I descend from the heavens. Okay, Shane? My very first decree after Miss Washington puts the crown on my head and asks me to marry her, my very first decree is no more junkies on buses or in front of Kroger's or in front of supermarkets, because I am now the king. And the king gets what the king wants, Shane Peterson. What do you think about that, boss?
I don't know. You kind of sound like Billy Sunshine a little bit.
Why do I sound like Billy Sunshine?
You sound like you're an authoritarian. It sounds like you're just the one calling all the shots and nobody else gets to say. You know, well, what? Maybe a monarchy? Maybe a better, okay, better choice of words?
Okay, well, this is where libertarians go totally wrong. And I am very sympathetic to libertarians. I love my libertarian friends out there. I love the way that you think. You are a very optimistic type thinker. But there is a line of libertarian nature where you end up with issues where people are literally shooting up dope in front of a supermarket, or they're shooting up dope in front of a kindergarten, or you have what you have with Broadview Thompson. And the libertarian attitude or the libertarian philosophy around that is, well, you just ostracize those people. You just remove those people, and then they won't come back again. And that never actually happens. So again, like, the kind of libertarian philosophy begins to fall apart when you think about what these people actually do. I mean, these people just don't go away. They're going to continue to shoot up dope on the bus until, you know, some adult figure comes in and tells them to stop doing that.
Yeah.
So speaking of adult figures coming in and telling them to stop doing that, Shane, are you a Netflix guy or are you a Hulu guy? This is a very important question.
I don't know. I've fluctuated back and forth. Yes. As of recently, I have been very loyal to the Hulu instead of the Netflix.
Ooh, wow. So you're kind of a more dangerous guy. You're living life on the edge, Shane Peterson. You're not some, you know, hokey, run-of-the-mill Netflix guy. You're dipping your toe into the Hulu jacuzzi.
Well, the Hulus, they've got some of the shows that I'm really into right now. They have the show Dave, that's usually on FX, that I've been getting into, that I really, really like. And they also got the always wonderful and great Letterkenny. They're the only streaming service that has that show. So, you know, they kind of get me every single time because I can't see any of my shows anywhere else. It's always ends up on Hulu.
So Netflix has lost 500,000 subscribers. Now, that's in growth, right? So they were projecting to have somewhere in the neighborhood of 4 million in Q2, but they did not. They were about 500,000 short. And the article that I read was kind of blaming the pandemic, and they were blaming kind of a slowdown. And, you know, there are so many other streaming services out there. Netflix used to be the only one out there. Now there's Hulu, you have Disney Plus, you have HBO Max, you have Paramount Plus, you have all these different platforms. I think it's because Netflix has started making terrible content. Objectively, they have started producing content that's a little bit too on the nose when it comes to all the kind of woke SJW stuff. And I say that unironically. They are producing content that is kind of off-putting to people. For example, there's a show called Dear White People about a bunch of black college students that talk about how awful white people are. There's a show, Shane, do you remember last month when there was that show about the gay spy squad that came out? It's an animated show with a bunch of you know, LGBTQ characters that are now spies, that was hypersexual in nature. I think most people, when they are looking at their Netflix subscription, and you're a Midwestern mom or you're an Eastern West Washington dad or something like that, you look at these shows that are coming out and you're saying, why do I want to pay $15 to have somebody lecture me? Why do I want to pay $18 a month to have someone condescend to me about the way that I choose to live my life? If you just came out with good, accessible content, you would continue to grow. When you pigeonhole your content like that, of course people are going to leave, Shane. That's my ultimate thesis on this particular issue.
Well, I can get where you're coming from, but also, I mean, maybe they're just trying to look and try to hit more of a different demographic than what you might fall under. I hear you, and I see a lot of these shows, and some of them really, I don't know. The show that you talked about, Dear White People, yep. Watch that show.
Yep.
I kind of enjoyed it.
It's a good show. It's difficult for me to watch, though, when they get kind of lectury. You know what I mean? When they start going down the path of when the main character, who's this beautiful black woman, by the way, absolutely gorgeous woman who's like 32 years old, but she's playing like an 18-year-old, she's playing like an 18, 19-year-old college student, when she does her radio show on that, on Dear White People, and she comes on and she goes, "Dear White People," and then she lectures for 5 minutes at the beginning of every episode. After a while, it's like, hey, man, I just want to enjoy the drama, the love between these students at an all-black college. I don't want to be lectured for the first 5 minutes of a show.
Yeah, that is true. But I don't know. I mean, on my college campus at Central Washington, I went to almost every single open mic night to either sing or do comedy. And there was a lot of people. There was one gentleman, a black gentleman, who would go up, and he was like a poet. He was kind of like a beat poet, and he would talk about certain stuff like that, but not in like a super hyper aggressive or like a blatant like, hey, white people this, white people that. But he kind of articulated his experience of being black at college and being at a school where he was a minority, where he wasn't the minority before. So I see these things. I've seen these things happen a lot on college campuses. So when you see some of this content, I think that they're really trying to pinpoint and hit some of these certain audiences and demographics that actually see this in their everyday life. But there is a good point that you make, that there are people, you know, the Midwest mom that's going to sit there and just immediately by the first time she turns it on, she's going to be offended by it because she's feeling like she's getting attacked. You
exactly.
know? And it
exactly.
makes sense. But, you know, I don't know. I think, you know what, I think honestly the big thing is that's kind of been to the demise of Netflix is they have not been able to put out any good comedy specials. That's their big moneymaker for a lot of stuff. You haven't seen any good specials or anything come out, and that gets a lot of foot traffic. So, hey, Netflix, how about you kick it up with the comedy a little bit? Some of us are dying over here. We need a few laughs.
Yeah, and I would add on to this as well, though, Shane. I would say this as well, that so when you go and you watch like a beat poet or something like that, there's an inherently this kind of organic nature to it because you're seeing somebody and they're performing and you're connecting with them and they're sweating and they're crying and they're so oppressed and it's so awful. But when it's scripted that way and it's an actor reading the lines and lecturing at you from somebody who had written that script with you in mind, that's when it's like, hey, man, this is a bit too much. When it's so heavy-handed like that, when the message is so heavy-handed, I think that that is what turns people away from content. As an example, if every single night on Cairo Nights, all I did for 3 hours was talk about how much I don't like the Biden administration, I'm pretty sure our ratings would go down precipitously. All right, so we'll take a really, really quick break. When we get back, Shane Peterson and I are going to be doing a little bit of Shane, I have no idea what story you're going to bring me. This is going to be a complete and total mystery, my friend.
Oh, yes, it's always a mystery. That's the best part about it.
We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this. When the first time is the last time, make you feel so bad. But if you know it, show it. You can't go on thinking. All right, welcome back to Cairo Night. So, Shane Peterson, Sugar Shane Peterson, are you doing all right, buddy? You sound a little sluggish.
I'm very tired today. I did get a little bit more sleep last night than what I usually do, but I've just been getting up early, got a lot of jobs, I've been taking a lot of early ferry trips, so I just finally crashed. I drank one of those Bang energy drinks today, Jack. Have you ever had one of those?
Yes. Which flavor did you indulge yourself in, Shane?
Oh, you know, I've been on the keto coffee kick that they got.
Ooh.
So I've been drinking the canned mocha.
Yeah.
Bang energy, and those puppies got 300 milligrams of caffeine. And, you know, I was tired this morning, and I drank one of those. Workday was going strong, and then as soon as I got off, I sat in traffic for an hour to go back home, and it just all crashed, and I was, like, falling asleep behind the wheel, like, this is miserable. But I'm feeling all right. I'm just a little tired today.
All right, so what do you got for us, Shane Peterson?
Okay, so I found this article today, and Jack, have you ever been to Kentucky? Do you know much about the state of Kentucky?
I have not been to the fine stuck of, I have not been to the fine state of Kentucky. No, I have not.
Well, the University of Kentucky is basically the only thing that I really know about Kentucky other than bluegrass and, you know, It's bluegrass and basketball. That's the only things that I think about for Kentucky.
For sure.
So this actually came out of the news today, and I got to get the bed going here so I can make this announcement. So the University of Kentucky seeks for unvaccinated participants for a COVID-19 transmission study.
What?
The University of Kentucky is looking for participants for a study aiming to understand how COVID-19 is spreading among unvaccinated people. The study is seeking participants 18 to 29 who have not been vaccinated. People who have been tested for COVID-19 are not eligible. To understand the reason behind this decision not to get vaccinated, the study will enroll those who don't plan to get vaccinated and those who do so. So it looks like even though we've been seeing a lot of new information, we've gotten a lot more familiar with what COVID-19 is, it looks like there's still a lot of people trying to go for it and going for a study, and it's coming out of the state of Kentucky, which I think is actually kind of interesting. And also,
dude,
yes,
this is not, hold on, I have been around enough studies to decode this for you, Shane, so please allow me to let me disabuse you of this notion. Okay, this is not actually a study about vaccinated and unvaccinated people. This is a study about the respondents. Does that make sense? Because this is an unethical study to conduct for the university. So this isn't actually about will you get COVID-19, will you not get COVID-19, so on and so forth. This is actually a study about the data that they will collect from the respondents, and then they'll let them know after the study is complete. So they're going to do like a socioeconomic type thing. They're going to see what background they have. They're going to see like what's their ethnic makeup, stuff like that. It's not actually about the vaccine, Shane. Hear me out on this.
Okay. Well, I mean, all the sources that I have and that I'm reading, it's saying that they're just trying to tell the difference between people who are vaccinated and those who are unvaccinated and what type of signs and stuff do they have.
Right. But like, this isn't like an actual transmission study. I know that that's what it says and that's what it's advertised as. But this is going to be like a meta study. They're actually going to be pulling different sets of data from this outside of just are you vaccinated or are you not vaccinated.
Okay, well, now I'm a little bit more confused here. There says that the University of Kentucky is one of 30 to 40 study sites in the U.S. Researchers say they will not try to convince participants to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So it looks like it's already going on in plenty other places as well. So what raises the red flag for you saying that this is unethical? If people volunteer for it, how is it ethical if they give their consent?
Okay, well, no, it's totally ethical if they give their consent, but these kinds of universities have kind of rules and regulations as to what kind of studies they can and cannot participate in, right? So let us just say that at a certain point in time in this study, I determine that I want to get the COVID-19 vaccine, right? Because of exposure or whatever it is, that then ruins my data set, correct?
I mean, I guess, that would just make you just have to take out one person, one single singular little thing out of your data set, but I don't know how much it would affect the whole.
So now imagine if that happens to 20%, then your data set's basically ruined, right? Because now you don't have a comparable data set. So my thought about this is, Shane, is that they're going to be gathering ancillary information of these 30 to 40 universities, and then they're going to be compiling it into an aggregate as to, like, you know, again, socioeconomic status, income status, things of that nature. That's my prediction.
Okay, that's your prediction. I'm intrigued to see where this is going to go, because I mean, when I was reading it and kind of going over it, it sounds like they're really just trying to figure out what's kind of like how long and how severe people are being able to hold these viruses. But you bring up an interesting point about, you know, some of the ethical legalities that some of these universities have. So that's an interesting fact that I did not take into consideration, Jack Scott.
You're welcome, buddy. I was in university long enough to know how these things are kind of coded. Now, it might be, though, dude. It might be that they legitimately are trying to see how this unfolds in people's lives. But if somebody dies as a result of this study, think about it like that, Shane. Think about how awful that would be, which is why I just don't buy it. Because the potential is there for somebody to die in this study, right?
I mean, yeah, if they really have a bunch of pre-existing problems, it
exactly.
is risk.
Exactly. All right, Shane, you got any final thoughts on this before we have to get out of here?
I mean, I'm interested to see what happens, and I mean, I don't know. I think Kentucky's a pretty interesting place. I think that might be a place where we might not see a lot of vaccinated people. So I'm intrigued to see what the data is going to say.
All right. Well, we have to take a really quick break when we get back. Speaking of data, Stacey Jo Rost is going to come in, and I think we're going to be talking about that U.S. ladies soccer team that decided to take a knee right before they lost to Sweden. So we'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back with Stacey Jo Rost after this. Ooh, forget about it now, say no.